Hey there, Abby. Hi, sweet girl. Yeah.
Recording in progress.
Well, good evening. I call to order the Atascadero City Council meeting, and I will gladly lead you in a pledge to the flag. Please stand as you are able.
Ready, begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Here.
Councilmember Darris?
Here.
Councilmember Newsom?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Here.
Mayor Moreno?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Well, for those of you attending in person, welcome. If you're listening on Zoom, YouTube, wherever you might be, on 1230, Channel 20, so glad you're with us tonight. If you would like to speak by phone on anything on our agenda or under community forum, you can do so by calling the following number. 669-900-6833. Again, that phone number is 669-900-6833. And when you call, you'll need to type in meeting ID 889-2347-9018. Again, you'll punch in meeting ID 889-2347-9018. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll so move.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbo, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. We will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We have a presentation, our 101 North San Luis Obispo County Comprehensive Multimodal Corridor Plan. And
Mayor, I can introduce the item.
Thank you.
This is SLOCOG.
Yes.
Is working on this.
I'm very familiar.
Plan. On the North County Multimodal Corridor Plan. And DKS, Kendall Flint from DKS is going to present this remotely. And Luke, I think she's, I don't know if you made her a presenter or not. Okay. Looks like she's all ready to go.
Wonderful.
And I believe
welcome.
John D'Annunzio from SLOCOG is also on.
Is he?
He's an attendee.
Well, thank you very much, Nick. Again, I'm Kendall Flint. I'm the, I'm the task manager for public engagement for this project. Super excited. I'm sorry I'm not there in person, but I'm going to be there tomorrow all day and the next day. But I am very excited about talking with you all tonight about what we have as part of this particular project. Many of you know the fun that is the 101 and 46 confluence, whether you're on 46 and going to 101 or you're trying to get the other way, it's a real challenge. And so one of the things that we're looking at in this study area is really looking at the Cuesta Gray to the Monterey County line. And then we're also including SR 46. And if you're familiar with the area, which I think everyone here tonight is, you know, there are some challenges. So one of the things we're looking at are ways to envision improvements or enhancements that will help us connect this area in a multimodal capacity. If you've ever had the fun that is making that left-hand turn off of 46 where you're getting onto 101 on a weekend, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's not just cars. We're also talking about bike and pedestrian access, as well as our wine growers moving goods to and from different areas. So it's on ramps, it's off ramps, it's all these different things. And when we say multimodal, which is really a transportation term, it just means that we're talking about all the ways that people access these areas in any given day. So the plan objectives really are to figure out ways to build on the multimodal mobility master plan, which is established in 2014, and then also to set up the area so that it will be very attractive for grant funding. And I think, as most folks know, the ability to attract grants from the state and federal level are very important in order to fund some of these projects that are really so important to the region. So the study looks at what we call a cost-benefit analysis, which is looking at the cost of a proposed improvement and the benefit, like how many people does it reduce greenhouse gas emissions? Does it help you move safer through that area? What are the various pieces that go in there? And this all really connects with the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments commitment to connecting communities, which is making sure that whether you're in Paso or Atascadero or Templeton or visiting from other areas in California that have grown to love the Paso wine region, you know, we want to make sure that this process is something that is going to be positive and safe for all these folks. So one of the things we're looking at are examining the current and future functions and looking at all the areas where we could have improvements. I'll talk about this in a very brief second, but we've already completed what's called the existing conditions report. And this is a snapshot of what the current conditions are in the project area. And that can be everything from safety to wait times, all these different pieces. And it builds on previous efforts with our partners at Caltrans and work that's been done by the city of Atascadero and the city of Paso Robles, as well as the county, on how people want these things to get better for them. So one of the issues here is really looking at a plan that prioritizes particular investments that might do the best in terms of impact for our local agencies and for our visitors and well as our residents, and then looking at how that can be implemented in all these different areas. So when you look at this, we want to be consistent with both state and federal planning and also with Caltrans. One of the things that I think many of you are familiar with, or maybe not if you haven't had that fun or aren't a transportation wonk, but there's definitely, Caltrans is a partner, but we do have to be consistent with sort of the long-term plans that they have for the 101. DKS and our partners at SLOCOG have worked previously on the 101 South, and that's in the Pismo Five Cities area. We've been able to secure additional grant funding in those areas to help them implement some of the things that came out of the plan. So that's one of the things we want to do with this effort. So certainly we want to be consistent with Caltrans. We want to be consistent with all of the smart mobility things. And that's just best practices in terms of transportation planning. And then at the end of the day, we really want to be able to secure competitive grants. One thing you need to be aware of is that the San Luis Obispo County region is currently not a self-help county, which does constrain us a bit in terms of being able to come up with matching funds for grants. But that being said, there are still grants to be had, and there are still grants that we've been successful in getting. So this is something that we're trying to do with the plan to really make that case about why these things and these improvements are so important to the San Luis Obispo County area and specifically to that North County area in general. Now, one of the things we look at are parallel routes. I think we've all done this at one point or the other, which is basically when you get off 101 or 46 and you use an alternate route to get to places. So are there opportunities for us to look for additional funding to make those access points easier, more efficient, that sort of thing? So that's one of the other pieces, again, building on work that's been done by Wallace Group and some other folks within the area to make sure that we're building on what has already been established. Now, over the coming weeks, we have all kinds of engagement and outreach. I'd like to draw attention to our project website, which is us101northcountymmp.com. And what's important about this, it has information about the project itself. The current existing conditions report is also there, and it'll also have information about upcoming events and opportunities for public engagement. We've already had a workshop in the city of Paso Robles. We'll be doing one in Atascadero in the coming months, but we really are excited about this interactive mapping tool that we have on the site there, and it allows people to actually share comments, kind of if you've ever used a Google map to figure out where you're going to go, where you have a particular concern about safety or access or traffic that we can look at, and then we marry that up. This is also an opportunity to sign up for project updates. We can tell you what's happening as we go through this process. And then here, I just want to show you again this comment capture map. By the way, for folks that may speak other languages, when you go on there, it's I think it translates in 80 or 90 different languages, but the idea is to drop a pin and say, this is a place I have a concern. This is a place I'd like to drop my bicycle off so I can get on transit to get from a point to another. This is a place where I have a concern about crossing a street or accessing either a freeway or a highway or other roadways that are in the area, and also just general comments. This is going to remain open likely through Thanksgiving, maybe a little bit later. And then we're using all these comments to match up with the technical data, which really talks about actual crashes, actual impacts, things like that. As part of this process too, we're also doing a number of presentations and engagement at pop, we call them pop-up events. I've already been to Rotary. Thank you to the mayor. We are now going to be at Kiwanis. We're also doing work with Visit Paso. We'll be at various other community events over the next couple of months. And these, I think, will all contribute. Tomorrow, I believe I'm at the Rotary at Spring Hill Suite, so I'm excited about that. But again, we really want to get as many people as possible on this comment map. So for those of you in office and staff and actually people that are watching, if you can share this information with your social networks and whatnot, the more people we have commenting, the better off we are. So there are basically three major contacts for this. John D'Annunzio, who is on the call tonight. John is actually our project manager for the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. Jim Damkowicz is the DKS project manager. And then this is my information for outreach. If you have a group or you have questions or you want a presentation, please feel free to contact me. Oh, I just realized my email is misspelled. It's actually DKS, not DSK. I guess I should have had another person look at that tonight, but the phone number is correct, and that's actually the best way to get me anyway. So I appreciate the council's time tonight and the ability to make this presentation. And with that, I'm available to answer any questions you might have about the process or our next steps.
Thank you, Ms. Flint. I will look to my colleagues and see if there are any questions that we have this evening. I'm not seeing any. Thank you very much for being here, and Mr. D'Annunzio, for you being present as well. And we will look forward to the continued outreach, and thank you for expanding like you have. We really appreciate it.
I just have to say a quick shout out to your new city manager, Jim Lewis, who's one of my favorite human beings, and I just am so excited to see him in Tascadero. So nice to see you, Jim.
We're excited to have him here, too.
I see your name, but I know you're there.
Thank you, Ms. Flint.
Okay. Good night, all.
Good night. Next on our agenda is our consent calendar, and the consent calendar is considered to contain items that are routine and non-controversial and can be voted in one motion unless there's a member of the public or council wishing to pull an item. And so I will look to council or the public. I will say I would like to pull out A6 just for some clarification and a little extra emphasis. Are there any other items that any member of the public would like to pull or any member of council? All right, I'm not seeing any, so could I get a motion on items 1 through 5 and number 7?
I will so move.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Daris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And I think I will turn this to our city manager again. I know we have a point of clarification, but also we do have a member of public here who has rightfully brought up the issue with Del Rio that I think a lot of our residents have been concerned about. And so to give a little bit more emphasis to that and airtime to it.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor and members of council. We are pleased to have item A6. This is really an effort to repair. Many of the streets are still damaged from the last series of storms. I appreciate the Public Works Department's efforts to be creative and finding approaches to get these done quickly before the storms come through. I did want to highlight that we are asking for an allocation for the Del Rio road repairs. You had heard that brought up at a prior meeting, and I think that we were looking at trying to go to bid on this thing. There was two issues on pricing because the contractors are very busy, and it was just outrageously expensive if we could even get a bid. The second thing was there are some unique permitting issues as far as the encroachment permit with Caltrans, if the city's doing the work versus a vendor doing the work. And so I really appreciate the Public Works Department being creative, putting their heads together on this, and coming up with the idea that the city can do a good bit of this work and then subcontract out for work that is outside of our skill set. I think this will be a great training opportunity for our staff. I know our Matt Pigeon's looking forward to getting out there. This is his former life, playing in pavement, and then working with a business partner. So I think $75,000 should get us there, but more important, we have a plan to attack this work and have it done before Thanksgiving. So I think I can confidently say that, and I know this was of interest to the community and the council, and we know that intersection bears a lot of traffic coming off the west side. It's very heavily traveled, and it's important. So I appreciate that with your action tonight, we can get to work on this. Thank you.
So Matt has a little bit of an ulterior motive. It's not just very nice. I will look to Mayor Pro Tem and anyone else having questions, flag me down.
One additional question, Mr. City Manager, on that item. Just one of the elements was the repairs on Santa Cruz Road where the storm drainage had been damaged in the area around a culvert. And since the repairs are to the slope, I wanted to make sure that, can you assure us that the repairs being done address what's need for a long-lasting addressing of that
problem? I think maybe the city engineer can answer that. I can tell you, yes, we believe this is the right repair because the culvert was plugged up from debris and the water ran over the road and caused the damage. So making sure the culvert is operational and that the slope is repaired, I think, is the correct approach. But maybe the city engineer wants to add to that.
Sure. That's a great question, Mayor Pro Tem Funk. We actually had Yan Associates, a geotechnical engineering firm, go out and evaluate it on our behalf. And they came back with a recommendation that we're going to implement, but it's basically rock slope protection, you know, making sure the culvert gets cleared out, which we can. It's a very steep slope holding up the road and, you know, further degradation of that slope. We just need to protect it so it'll be fabric and rock placed over it, a riprap, as they call it. So pretty simple repair, but it's very steep and a tall slope as well, so it will be a little tricky. But it will be a long-lasting repair, to answer your question.
Great. And I know city staff was out before the January storms and between the two various storms, clearing culverts and trying to make sure that they were ready in advance. And so I assume do we know why this culvert happened to plug up? Was it just because there hadn't been a storm of this magnitude for such a long time?
I'm not so sure if it was a plug culvert. There's a drain inlet across the street, and the road is tipped towards the inside of a curve, and it's very steep. It's almost to the very top of Santa Cruz, so it's a long ways out there. But the road is steeper coming down. Looking at it from my, you know, professional opinion, I think the water somehow ran off. Maybe it came down so fast on that road that it just skipped right past that culvert or the inlet got overwhelmed. Maybe it wasn't even plugged. It just got overwhelmed by the storms and the intensity of the rains. But whatever happened, it did start, you know, flowing off the road over that bank in a location it should not have, and it scoured that out. And, you know, what's left is what we have.
Okay, thank you very much.
Seeing no other council comments or questions, I'll open it up to the public. If there's any member of the public wishing to speak on this item, is there anyone in chambers? I am seeing none. Anyone on Zoom? You could raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close any public comment on this item, and I will ask for a motion on A6.
I move approval of item A6.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next on our agenda are updates from the city manager, Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. I have several. I appreciate your patience, but trying to parse through what was important was difficult. So first of all, I want to thank the Friends of Atascadero Lake and the volunteers who came out to Atascadero's annual Lake Perimeter Cleanup Day last Saturday. Quite a bit of work was done by individuals and the contractor, and I really appreciate the work that they did and our public works team getting the tools and the work out there. Volunteers worked for 6 hours to remove weeds, small limbs, and brush, and we had several dumpsters take material away. I was out there yesterday. There still is a good bit of material out there, and I admit that's a bit frustrating, but we are making coordinating efforts to get that picked up very soon. So I know that we need to get that done, and I beg people's patience. But the lake is more beautiful, and the path is much more open, so it looks great. Last week, switching gears, we received a $10,000 donation to the Charles Paddock Zoo. We're grateful for the Chamber of Commerce and the Lakeside Wine Festival Committee for these proceeds raised at the 26th Annual Wine Festival. So big thank you to everyone involved. It's great that our community comes out to support the zoo we so love. And there's a beautiful picture of you all and others with the check for $10,000.
And Alan smiling.
I wonder if that big one will cash. Do we try that? Maybe we can cash that one and the little one, see what happens. Okay, downtown pavement project. So this is exciting, a lot of work downtown. I was with Councilmember Barbeau today as we were talking over a few things, and we could hear a jackhammer, and I looked at him and said, that's the sound of progress. And phase two of the downtown pavement rehab is well underway. So this week, demolition of the curb ramps at City Alley Number 1 and Palma Avenue will continue. Next week, now this is the exciting part, demolition and actual paving work will begin on Entrada on November 1st. So we're going to get through the Halloween extravaganza, which you'll hear a little bit from now. And we'll begin the setup on November 1st, grinding on the 2nd. Entrada will be closed to traffic and parking on November 2nd and November 3rd until 4 p.m. So we're trying to get out of there and button this up. So the condition of the street will always be passable. We'll try and mark parking spaces temporarily because the surface paint will be off. We're really working to make this as least interruptive as possible, and that for the evening crowd, you'll be able to park on Entrada. So we're trying to work through this, and November 6th, if needed, sidewalk access will remain open. So the good news here, we are sending staff around to talk to business owners there, but also we'll be done with Entrada and Traffic Way well before the holiday season, and that was a commitment that we made to you, and that will hold. Now that we have a contractor on board and the work is scheduled, so we're grateful for that. And staff has really worked hard through the website, the banners, the updates on the street, talking in person, email, to keep our business owners and communities informed as possible. Beginning October 30th through November 1st, demolition and construction will be taking place on the curb ramp at West Mall and Palma. And on November 2nd, construction of the curb and gutter will take place on West Mall on the east side along the Atascadero School District offices. That'll be really nice to have that cleaned up. Also downtown, the broadband work is going on. So this week, utility work is taking place on Lewis Avenue on the southwest side of the parking and bike lanes, and East Mall on the south side at the edge of the sidewalk. Next week, broadband work will continue on Lewis Avenue and East Mall. They're actually boring, so they'll have bore pits where they're coming in and actually putting the fiber under the street. So that's what you'll be seeing. And then on Traffic Way on the south side in the parking and bike lanes. During the broadband utility work, sidewalk and road access will be maintained. Parking in the areas may have some temporary impacts where the boring equipment is. So we really appreciate cooperation during this period. We'll keep working with contractors on the schedule and keeping people updated. But this is progress, having fresh roads, accessible sidewalks, a new broadband effort that will significantly improve speed and bandwidth for downtown, helps us invest further in downtown and supply internet to more people. And so this is just a great update. Switching gears, if you didn't get your spring cleaning done, you can do some fall cleaning. It is time for our waste drop-off day at the Chicago Grade Landfill, and so this is really important. This is your chance to get rid of extra household waste for free now through October 28th from 7:30 to 3. So what you need to do first is go to the Waste Management Office located at 8740 Pueblo Avenue, Suite B, or call them at 805-466-3636. To get your voucher, and then when you go to the landfill in your personal vehicle, no trailers, so your SUV, your personal truck, etc., with your stuff, you can present your voucher. You'll be allowed in for free, and you can dump your things. One voucher per household, and residents must unload the items themselves. But this is still an opportunity to fill a car with things that you've been wanting to get rid of. So again, get your voucher first at the Waste Management Office at 8740 Pueblo Avenue. All right, now let's get scary. We have some, I love when Terry writes these, but fabulous activities for Halloween. It's upon us. And let me share with you some of these things. We have Russo's Spooktacular. I got to make sure people are still listening. I'm getting long. Russo's Spooktacular Halloween House is open for spectators. This is at 7720 Cortez Avenue in Atascadero from 7:30 until about 10:30. Mark's a former employee of ours and loves Halloween, and you can see the lights, and it's a spectacle. He's been doing this for 8 years with his family to put on a Halloween house experience. So from now to Halloween, you can see the front yard, the lights, the spooky characters, but you can't go in. If you want to go in, you got to do that on Halloween. So all visitors will be welcome, and the event is free. Mark appreciates donations. So it's nice to see our employees contributing to the community after retirement, right? Pretty neat. Okay, the zoo then, another scary activity, the Zoo Boo, October 28th from 5 to 8:30. Get your best costume ready. I may be in a costume that you'll have to see to believe. Out to a not-too-scary evening at Zoo Boo. The Halloween spirit abounds from spooky decorations, carnival games, Halloween activities. We have a new maze We might be doing some interesting things with pumpkins. I'll leave that to be surprised. A haunted house and treats. So it's $16 per person regular, $15 for members, and tickets are available at the event. And under two is free. We appreciate Pure Pediatric Dentistry, Country Touch Cafe, and the Coastal Communities Physician Network, and our in-kind sponsor, Five Star Rain Gutters and Waste Management. That allows us to do Zooboo and do it well. One more Halloween, well, actually two more Halloween activities. This is a pretty cool town for Halloween. Take this Halloween town. On October 31st from 5 to 8, we have trick-or-treating on Entrada. It's a safe, family-friendly Halloween. We will have a newly added haunted house created with the dying expertise of the haunt, a hay maze sponsored by Atascadero Hay and Feed, live music by Traffic Records, and a lot of costume contests. Our very own Atascadero Police and Fire Departments will be offering opportunities to check out a fire engine and the 55 Chevy, plus trick-or-treating. It is free and brought to us by our fabulous downtown business owners in the Business Improvement District. The Chamber of Commerce will have more information on that. And finally, for Halloween at least, our first Friday is back on November 3rd. Our last one was terrific. This theme is the Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, and the kickoff starts at 5:30 at the Plaza on El Camino with a special folkloric dance group, Ballet Folklorico Flor de Luna. How's that? I tried. Followed by Aaron and the Earthquakes performing a unique blend of rock, funk, blues, and jazz, covering original music. So great dancing. We'll have food trucks from Bear City Social at the Plaza to Chaco's Mexican Grill at Kula Vineyards and Super Fiesta at Central Coast Distillery. So, and then we'll have a wandering mariachi Mexicanismo moving around playing mariachi throughout downtown. So, hey, how about it? Thank you to the North County Restaurant Group that comprises a brew house, Barling Boar, Cielo, and Streetside for sponsoring this event. I'm almost done. Holiday Boutique. Wow, holiday shopping is coming. It's right around the corner, but at the Pavilion on the Lake, Saturday, November 4th. That's like next weekend, so it's coming. From 10 to 3 will be the Holiday Boutique at the Pavilion. It's a one-day craft show, and it's the only place you'll find over 50 vendors with unique and one-kind gifts. So that special person you're looking for, this unique, it could even be yourself. Go to the Holiday Boutique and get something amazing. And so I have three more things quickly. In our police department, I know members of our community enjoy listening on the scanner to our police calls. For compliance reasons with CLETS and the State Department of Justice, for safety and just for signal reliability and clarity, we will be switching over to a digital signal that is encrypted. And so this is going to be occurring sometime next week, I understand. So scanners will not work on that channel. So this is something people may notice. It go dark. And this is for us to be consistent with state DOJ requirements. And the digital signal is much safer for our officers because it's a stronger signal with some clarity. And so that's occurring. Also, I wanted to share with you that Fire Station 1 and the police station kind of public safety renovations are kicked off. So we had our first project kickoff meeting just a couple of weeks ago with the goal being the decision has been made that we are going to rebuild the fire station where it is. So we tried to work with the state. We appreciate Senator Laird's efforts there. But I think that was just very difficult as far as property exchange and what the state was looking for. And so the Armory site is what it is. The Department of General Services, in cooperation with an executive order of Governor Newsom, will likely put an RFP out for that for affordable housing project there. I know there's some interest from county affordable housing providers. We will build Fire Station 1 where it is, which is plenty of room. I know the fire chief is excited. His kickoff meeting is tomorrow at the police department. We'll be doing a modernization and renovation of that building. We met with the architect and the construction manager last week for 7 hours, I think. It was a long meeting. But we're underway, and I wanted to share that with the council and the community. We're all very excited. I was out of Station 2 as well with the fire chief today, looking at a few things we'll need to do there as well. So that is underway. My goal would be to come back to you early 24 with some pictures and site plans and timelines and a budget. And that'll be exciting as we continue. The last thing I have is on a more serious note. I'd like to reflect in memory. The Atascadero firefighters in the city of Atascadero are mourning the recent loss of a beloved member of our fire family, retired engineer Dave Payton. Many of you may have remembered Dave Payton. There he is, man, that mustache. I love that. Dave served the Atascadero community for over 30 years, beginning his career in 1978. He retired in 2010. His contributions to the department were numerous. He held the titles of firefighter, engineer, paramedic, fire investigator, and technical rescue expert. He was a great mentor to so many of our members who worked with him through his fire service career. He truly made a profound impact on our fire department, both professionally and personally. He passed away recently after battling cancer. He will greatly be missed by all those who had the honor of knowing him, so much so that services are being held this Saturday in Idaho, and several of our firefighters who worked with Dave, including Chief Bryson, will be attending those services to represent and honor his life. And so we are very sorry on the loss of Dave, and we send our sympathies to his family. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And yeah, I see several members of our fire department here, and just our condolences for your loss. I know how, we all know how tight you are as a family, and it goes, you know, it extends back many years. And so we just our hearts go to you, and of course to Dave's family. And what I've only always found interesting is there is sort of the unofficial Fire Station 3 that we have in Idaho. So the appropriate place to celebrate a life well lived. Thank you to our city manager for a very thorough report. We have a lot going on here in the city, and thank you to staff. I think I speak on behalf of the entire council. You are all doing a tremendous job. There are big projects, big things in the works, still dealing with the storms, events, all of the things that keep our city running and keep us vibrant and thriving. You're all just, you're on top of it, and thank you so much for what you're doing. I will ask if there are questions. Yes, Mark.
Thanks. Just a quick question on the Fire Station 1. Is that going to be a complete rebuild? Is any part of that building going to be salvaged to try to use? I don't see that being as a viable option, but I'm just curious. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
No, I think we're looking at a complete rebuild.
So is it going to be a complete teardown? That's good. All right.
Yeah, and also we're looking to include an emergency operations center and additional bays, appropriate living arrangements.
Yeah, I know it's going to be much bigger. It needs to be much bigger. So, all right, exciting. Thank you.
And I would ask the city manager, what is the, if we talk with HCD or DGS about possibly using the armory site as staging temporary fire station, what will that look like?
I did. So that's very important. We want to keep fire operations near where they are, and having a staging area is very important for allowing construction to be efficient and orderly. And so, yes, I did ask them that. I'll be connecting to the military department because it still is operated by the National Guard until the date that DGS flips over to the winner of the RFP for housing. So yes, that will be our opportunity to pursue that.
Thank you. All right, we are moving on to community forum. This is the portion of the meeting that is reserved for persons who are wishing to address the council on an item that is not on this evening's agenda, but over which we have jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we allot up to 30 minutes for community forum. If you wish to speak, we ask you to come forward to the mic and state your name for the record. We will turn on the timer so you can see the 3 minutes. And typically, we don't have any topics brought up tonight do not become a subject of discussion, but oftentimes we're able to triage some things, and we do our best to do that. So welcome to our first community speaker.
Good evening, Council. Jeff Oslin, community member, resident of the city. I want to commend our city for the last council meeting in correcting a wrong with a project up the street on El Camino. I will say that there was four poor souls trying to get into a place that were, having a lot of trouble because they couldn't get a final, and I think the council made a great decision, and I think what the city did to hold that developer accountable should be commended. This city, our council, and our city manager corrected a wrong, and I think that goes a long way to show that we do look out for residents of our community, whether they're moving in or whether they're here. So on that note, I say thank you. On the second item, Public Works. Yes, I'm hard on Public Works when they don't fix roads in a timely manner, but I'm also going to defend them for a minute. I've lived in this area basically since 1981. I have seen storms every 8 to 12 years of major magnitude. The difference in last year's storm was not necessarily the fault of our public works and bad drainage and things of that nature. What's happened over the last several years is you have more building, more blacktop, more concrete, and more people that have moved in And some people that just don't know better or that don't care and throw stuff into dry creeks because they're not used to seeing them run. And then what happens is that stuff comes down a hill in a creek or in a river, and it clogs up bridges, and it creates major dams, and then it runs over roads and over culverts, and it causes a lot of issues. I lived on 41 a long time of my life. I've seen our bridge out there get washed out. I've seen water go around it. I've seen bridges have to be replaced. So I'm defending our public works department and saying they did a great job on what they could battle. But it also comes down to those that live here and in adjacent areas. Don't throw stuff into creek beds. Get rid of it. Mulch it up. Take it to the dump. Do what you need to do, because this also adds to our flooding and our roads decaying and the earth moving and landslides and costs the city millions of dollars in repairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin. Yes, other members of the public here, welcome.
Good evening. My name is Susie Reynolds, and this is my husband, Doug. And I think we're here on the right night, because it seems to be a night for appreciation. And we live at the base of Pine Mountain, and our house was at the bottom of a major landslide, mudslide. And it was quite a mess, and Nick and his crew came out within 2 weeks after the storm and saw what we were dealing with and promised that we would have something, some help before the next storms arrived. And about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, I'm not even sure the date now, Lucas Porter and his construction crew came out from Nick's direction, and they fixed it up as much as we would hope for, even more so. We were shocked at what they were able to accomplish and did for our safety. We look up at this slide, and we don't sleep really well, or we weren't, and thinking about the possibilities of what could happen in the future. And now we look and are just so relieved, and we really appreciate, you know, being listened to and having this action taken to protect our property and the properties of our neighbors, because it was not just us that would be affected by the next one. So thank you, Nick. And Ryan Hayes also really was integral. And I do want to give a plug to Lucas Porter and his construction company. They were amazing and were so kind and so thorough and left the area nicer than when they arrived. And our road got cleaned up a little bit, as much as it could. It's a mess. But they did a really, really complete job, and they were very easy to work with. So I really recommend them if you need people for future projects. Did you want to say anything else, Doug?
And thank you very much for approving the project. That was the big story.
That was the key, yeah. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you. I'm not seeing anyone else in chambers. I will look to Zoom and see. Let's see. We have Devin. So if we could bring Devin on, Luke.
Good evening. Do you have me?
Yes, we do.
All right. We've got audible this time. I'll be short and sweet. Thank you for having this quick moment. And I just wanted to relay, I know the technology is out there for Zoom, and I was hoping that the city council was looking into exploring DRC and planning commissions to have both those meetings on a public device like Zoom or Microsoft Teams. Myself, I work a lot, and it's hard to attend meetings, so that'd be greatly beneficial to the community. And I thank you for the night and the quick comment.
Thank you, Devin. Any other members of the public? I'm not seeing any, so I'm going to go ahead and close community forum, bring that back. It is always nice to hear good news and hear thanks, so thank you. And yes, Mr. and Mrs. Reynolds, several of us, along with our, I think they might be back there at the elevator, but with staff and the city manager and both some congressional and state representatives, that was one of the areas that we toured and saw the damage over there. It was quite significant, so I'm very glad that we were able to help with that and prepare for the coming winter. And I will ask staff to maybe reach out to Devin and, you know, what are the issues or opportunities, challenges when it comes to Zoom or other, you know, access points for other types of meetings. And with that, let's see, we have no public hearings or management reports tonight, so we'll move on to council announcements and committee reports. And this is on our own initiative. Council members might make a brief announcement or report of their activities, and then also any standing committees that we represent the city on, we might make a brief report on that. So I will go from my right to my left. So Council Member Newsom.
Thank you. We have a city schools committee meeting scheduled for next week, and that's it.
I chaired the Executive Committee of the Homeless Services Oversight Council last week, and I'll just alert folks to three things. One is that the process of replacing the division manager for the Homeless Services Division is moving along very quickly, and we should have something fairly shortly. on that by the end of the month, perhaps. Secondly, we're doing some reorganization work with the committees that HSOC is a pretty big animal with committees on housing and services and data. And we're looking at how we can organize that work to streamline the work of staff to make sure that we have accountability and effectiveness in that work. And to that end, as chair, I authorized the creation of a coordinated entry working group. The agencies right now are implementing the data change elements that were part of the strategic plan with a new system that will give a much greater capability to the organizations to connect with each other, to work effectively, to have information in the hands of the people who are at the front lines on the outreach so that we can move people out of homelessness into housing faster. And to that end, there's need to focus on what's called coordinated entry, which is the human process at the beginning of our homeless services providers engaging with anyone who is currently unhoused and seeking help. And then the last thing is that we initiated a discussion that will be ongoing about how to potentially streamline the process for getting people who are addicted and willing to seek treatment into treatment more quickly, so that window of opportunity where someone is willing to have treatment can be captured before it closes.
Yes, next week on Tuesday, October 31st, the Board of Supervisors will make a decision on whether or not they want to rejoin the Integrated Waste Management Authority, so we wait to see what will happen with that.
May I ask you a question on that?
Certainly.
Did the Executive Committee or even just the Board in general decide how many representatives of the county
yes,
would be allowed if they could come back in?
The IWMA Board has approved what's called a rejoin or a joinder agreement. And that would reflect that the county would have one seat on the IWMA board. And so if the county elects to rejoin the IWMA, it would be with one seat on the board.
Thank you. Council Member Darris.
I don't have anything to report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I can say that at SLOCOG from the Caltrans report, you might remember there was that Kerberl Park and Ride kind of area that was supposed to receive some beautification and kind of a project going on. And I think they just haven't been able to find somebody to really bid on that. And they eventually, the Clean California money that they had to go to a different project. So there's, you know, I'm going to call it vague hope that this project could come back in the future. We have to get the funding again and find a willing contractor. But for now, that is on hold. We had a Mayor's meeting in Grover Beach, and had the ambassador to the Mexican consul in Oxnard come speak to us. Very nice to see him and really just hear from him just their, you know, their love of our country and the way they talk about with their constituents and the people that they're serving and how wonderful it is to be living here and to be part of our community. So really nice to meet the ambassador. Let's see, moving on to individual determinations. There is one that I have, and it's actually turned into three since this was published. But I'm going to ask for if I could write a letter on my own behalf, but I think it's more powerful when it comes from the entire council. And so there are two letters I would like to write in support of ECHO that would both go to the county. One is supporting their funding for the expansion of 20 beds in Paso Robles. The other is for the NOFA, which is their standard annual request that they make of the county, but the county is changing the way they do that, and so now letters of recommendation are weighted towards their receiving of their annual funding. And so I would ask staff to write a letter that speaks to the importance of ECHO to our community, and that would be for the NOFA funding. The other one, why it's important to have that regional North County presence when it comes to ECHO and why we support that. The third letter would be supporting Allen Hancock College in their, they're going to be making an application to the Board of Governors of the California Community Colleges to offer a bachelor's degree in applied professional studies. I think from the standpoint of economic development and looking at education as one of those pieces, I would like to write that letter of support. So I wanted to see if I can get a quick thumbs up from my council members, if there's any concerns.
Question on the third one.
Sure thing.
Certainly support the first two. Is Cuesta, I mean, Cuesta would seem closer to home to us in terms of writing such a thing. Is Cuesta not pursuing the same thing?
No, Cuesta has their own thing that they do, and I actually think they do have a four-year degree or potentially pursuing one. I'm looking at this more from the minor role that I have, though, on REACH and looking at this more regionally and being able to support Allen Hancock, as that is if we look at REACH being bigger than just San Luis Obispo County, so that's why I would be doing that.
I'm assuming, I mean, certainly there are people in San Luis Obispo County, I don't know about the North County, that attend Allen Hancock, but I guess for that particular purpose, there might be people from the North County that attend there.
Mayor, if I may, I received a letter from the superintendent at Allen Hancock today. It was sent to the county administrator and city administrators, and he said, Jill Stearns and I are grateful for the support you've provided for the proposed baccalaureate degrees we intend to submit at Cuesta College and Allen Hancock College. So I take it that while this sample letter is for his college, there is an effort by both of them to be recognized to be able to offer this baccalaureate degree.
So if we can have the general direction that yes, as whether it's Allen Hancock, it's Cuesta College, as these entities are requesting the support letters, would you agree that we can write
that
letter?
I mean, I would prefer that the letter include the words Cuesta, so there's a direct correlation.
If they want it, it's relevant. We literally just got this today, so tried to piece through that. But if there's any heartburn around the issue, then certainly
I don't have heartburn. I'm just am and probably going to be a stickler on commenting on issues outside of our,
Again, and I'm taking it more from that regional aspect of contributing to economic development. But I get your position that I'm not in game for commenting on everything under the sun.
Right.
All right.
Comment.
Yeah.
Two things. On the Allen Hancock, that campus also hosts our police academy and fire academy, as many of our folks may have trained there or know colleagues who have trained there. I had the opportunity to visit those facilities recently and was very impressed with the commitment to making sure that the public safety professionals in our community get the training and support that they need on a whole range of dimensions that we might not anticipate are part of that work. And I would certainly support that campus being able to expand the services that it offers and degree programs. I also would chime in on the ECHO letter, and we'll volunteer to work with staff in crafting that letter to make sure that we hit all the right points to make that as effective as possible.
We are actually working on that with ECHO, so we have a good handle on that. Thank you very much for your support. And are we good, Councilmember Borbo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all right.
I think so.
Any other individual determinations? All right. I am going to, just because we are at a very, I'm going to ask, I've got a hand raised in those. Is this about individual determination? Or is that a hand that raised while community forum was open and I missed that? It was right after it was closed. I'm going to look to our city attorney. May I reopen briefly community forum and have this individual speak?
Madam Mayor, it's your meeting.
So all right. I'm going to reopen community forum. And Mary, if you would like to come on, and you've got 3 minutes. Mary, you're muted. We cannot hear you. Is there a way to ask her to unmute? You just did. So, Mary, you need to unmute. If you should have a button that allows you to do that, or go into the lower left corner to where your audio is. All right. She disappeared, I think. All right. Community forum is closed, and we are adjourned. See you in November.